Season 4, episode 19, your midweek bonus episode to get you over the hump. You know, about right around the middle of the week, you begin to get overwhelmed with stupid. So this is just a way to let it all out, to think that, you know, so far this week has just been really stupid. But then you listen to this midweek episode and realize, not as stupid as this.
All the stories that you're going to hear in this podcast are true. None of the names have been changed because we've all done something stupid.
Because it's a great big stupid world, and we're feeling kind of crazy as it turns around. Great big stupid world.
I'm Insane Eric Lane. And welcome to the midweek bonus episode of My Stupid World. Just remember, if you see something stupid, say something stupid. And if you like the podcast, make sure you rate and review it, because I get 5-star stupidity for you. So give it a 5-star rating and maybe even write a review of the podcast. I just might read it in an upcoming episode. And if this is your first time to check out the podcast, you're either very curious or very gullible, but you're also very brave to face the stupidity that I have for you here in the midweek bonus episode. And by the way, if you are ever attacked, this is something you probably need to remember. It probably will be of a great help to you to have the Power Rangers nearby and ready to act. There's this new ramen shop that's in Oakland, California. And something wild happened there. You may have seen it, but this woman runs into the restaurant and she says her life was in danger. And a man runs in after her and puts her in a chokehold. Well, the employees at the restaurant at the time were dressed as Power Rangers. Yes, seriously. And they immediately jumped into action to the woman's aid. The Yellow Ranger and the Black Ranger asked the man to leave, but then he swung at them. The Yellow Ranger blocked the hit, grabbed the dude's collar, started dragging him out of the place. The woman was told to hide in the kitchen while the man was kicking and screaming anti-Asian racial slurs. By the way, the place was run by Thai people. The Power Rangers got him outside and called the cops, but it took the cops a half an hour to get there. And during that time, he was throwing stuff at the windows and trying to get back in. And apparently he did. So a bunch of the Power Rangers went out, locked the door, piled on top of him until the police got there. Actually, here's a patron of the restaurant, Ploy Piripokin, talking about what she actually witnessed while she was eating there.
When something surprising breaks out, you're not sure if it's real. All of the servers / Power Rangers were moving towards the scene to help one another out. The patrons also started getting involved in a way that was supportive and making sure that everyone was safe.
So the cops detained the man who they believed was having some kind of a mental health crisis. He's still being evaluated and really unclear if he's going to face any charges. The Pink Ranger, by the way, told the other customers that their food would be free. And the Green Ranger said that they were trying out the costumes as part of a themed thing that they were doing. Well, apparently that theme turned out to be quite very much real. Although they might want to consider maybe staging a future interference that might bring in some customers. You just never know. Well, America is the land of the free, but you're not free to hide a live kangaroo in your closet, such as a 19-year-old man in Pennsylvania did. His name is Cole Williams. He was busted after he was caught with a 6-month-old kangaroo, and he was trying to sell it on Facebook Marketplace. My wife goes to Facebook Marketplace a lot. Don't think I've ever seen any kangaroos for sale. I know you can find a lot of things on Facebook Marketplace. Well, anyway, somebody ratted him out. And when officials paid old Cole a visit, they found the kangaroo hiding in his bedroom closet. The kangaroo obviously was imported illegally, but the details of how it got there still aren't really clear. The kangaroo then was seized and taken to a facility where it would be cared for, and Cole pled guilty to several charges, but sounds like he's probably going to get off with some undisclosed fines. Maybe we should just ship him off to Australia. That way he can have all the kangaroos he wants. Well, here's a tip for you. Be wary of wearing out your welcome at somebody's home. Otherwise, they just might try to smoke you out. Yeah, well, that's kind of what happened to a 39-year-old man in Syracuse, New York. He was apparently fed up with the people in his apartment, and he wanted them to leave. So he goes into the bathroom and lit the shower curtain on fire. Well, I guess that'll do it. Of course, it's unclear if a fire alarm went off or somebody actually called 911, but the police did show up, saw the shower curtain burning on the floor and stomped it out. They also noted that the floor and the door frame were burned. Daniel Hart was arrested and charged with second-degree arson. That, by the way, is a felony. Thankfully, though, it sounds like the fire didn't get out of control and nobody was hurt, but the cops also noted he didn't just endanger the lives of the people in the apartment, but, you know, the other 12 units that the building had as well. Maybe he just didn't think that far ahead. I mean, it's one thing to get people out of your own apartment, but I don't think he planned on evacuating all 12 apartments with that little stunt. Well, the father and son in Florida, they're being hit with over a dozen charges after shooting at a random woman in her car because they thought she was a burglar. It's Gino Colonacosta and his 15-year-old son. His son saw that somebody else was dropping off a package that was delivered to the wrong address. Now, this all started when the Colonacosta's home's doorbell camera alerted Gino's son that somebody had been outside the door. So the teen peeks out the door to see who was there and then went to get a firearm. Okay, well, I guess maybe anybody, you know, like Boy Scouts looking to, you know, collect, you know, food for the food pantries might want to avoid that place. Anyway, the father, he grabs his cane and a loaded semi-automatic handgun. Apparently a very friendly house. Gino and his teen son then left the house, both carrying loaded weapons. Sheriff Grady Judd said then the two split up. Gino walks around his apartment building while his son checks the perimeter of the building. Gino reportedly found the vehicle with tinted windows in the parking lot in front of the building, and he assumed the person inside was a burglar. So he approaches the car and starts demanding the person get out. Well, the woman inside had just returned home and was actually checking messages on her phone before she was going to go inside. Actually, here's Sheriff Judd kind of describing their idiocy.
When she looks up and she sees Gino standing at the back of her vehicle with a gun pointed at her, screaming for her to get out of the car. She thinks he's about to carjack me. He's going to rob me. So she throws her car into reverse. She's trying to back out of the way. They go out searching for a burglar that wasn't there and shot up an innocent lady's car while she was in it.
And as the victim is trying to drive away, Gino and his son continue shooting at the car. Actually, one of the bullets went through an empty child seat in the rear of the vehicle. The victim, thankfully, was able to get to a nearby gas station and call for help. Gino Colonacosta fired two shots, and his teen son fires five during the incident. Both the father and son now are facing multiple charges. But the good news is they might get to at least get to share a cell together in the local prison. And getting the side-eye look from your dog, it can certainly make it seem like they're judging you. Well, there's a new study that suggests that they really could be. Research from Kyoto University, Japan, has found that dogs do surreptitiously judge you when you make mistakes, but only if they're the female dogs. Researchers set up an experiment where dogs were shown a competent person who was able to open a container and an incompetent person who could not. The two people that were given containers with food in it to try and open, the researchers then found that female dogs looked significantly longer at and approached the competent person. In contrast, male dogs had really no preference for either the competent or the incompetent person in the food task. Kind of mirrors real humans, doesn't it? Anyway, the study's lead author, Hitomi Chiyijua, says our findings show that dogs, especially female dogs, are able to identify human competence, which can influence their behavior, particularly if food is involved. It's gotta be tough to be judged by a creature who drinks out of the toilet, you know? Of course, cats, on the other hand, could care less what you do. And speaking of toilets, the oldest toilet in Japan has been damaged. A driver from the organization that protects cultural relics accidentally backed into it with his car. The 30-year-old man works with the Kyoto Heritage Preservation Association. He inadvertently, did the old acceleration with his car in reverse. The car goes crashing through the wooden door of the Tofukuji Temple in Kyoto and hit the communal commode, according to the local media reports. The unnamed worker immediately called the cops after striking the centuries-old toilet. Thankfully, the Zen Buddhist temple was empty at the time of the incident, and the driver escaped the accident unscathed. The Tosu restroom was built, by the way, about 500 years ago during the Muromachi period for training monks. A photo in local media of the aftermath of the crash shows the 20-year-old Toyota Will V inside the temple on top of the commode and surrounded by debris. Well, I guess that employee just flushed his career down the toilet, you might say. Guess what was right next to the world's oldest toilet? It was the world's oldest copy of Sports Illustrated. Now, this toilet may have been centuries old, but it was still cleaner than what you would typically find in a gas station bathroom, that's for sure. I mean, there's plenty of jokes to be made about this, but I don't think I should resort to that type of toilet humor, you know? Yeah. Anyway, I can't even imagine what angry organization members are saying to this guy, you know? I'm sure he's listening to plenty of potty mouths. Well, a Texas woman captured her scary encounter with a bison at Caprock Canyons State Park, home of the Texas State Bison Herd. Rebecca Clark posted her video on TikTok and was sharing how a bison gored her while she was walking on a trail alone. She captions the video, "I was charged and gored by a bison because I was too close to being passing them on the railway." It got more than 1.8 million views, over 280,000 likes. She says, "I'm posting to support safety while enjoying Texas state parks." In another video, Clark explained how the bison rammed her back, gored her, and threw her into a mesquite bush. Just wait for it.
There you go. Keep going. I don't want to deal with them. I just want to go by. Come on, keep going. Just want to get by, okay? Thank you. I appreciate it. Didn't want to go through the bushes again. Oh, no. Oh my God!
As she said, she was there for 50 minutes until help arrived. Clark had limited phone service and no access to 911. She said she got messages through family and friends who called officials for help. She was transported to the hospital via helicopter. Well, if you're going to be TikTok famous, that's definitely not the way to do it. And if you're picking numbers to play the lottery, well, there's countless inspirations to draw from, you know, like your special dates, your lucky numbers, your fortune cookies, sports scores, or how about, you know, the code numbers on your Kohl's cash or something, right? Well, this one is new. There's a 60-year-old man in Maryland. He wins a 50-cent pick five drawing, and he used the numbers from his truck's broken odometer. He says he bought the old truck with an odometer that was stuck at 82,466 miles, so he uses the number 82466 to play the lottery every day. The numbers came up in a recent drawing and earned him a cool $25,000. But his luck didn't start there. This is actually his third jackpot. He won $50,000 from a drawing back in 1995 and $100,000 from a scratch-off ticket in 2008. Those weren't using the odometer numbers, though. This guy says the $25,000 will go toward bills, of course. He didn't mention anything about getting that broken odometer fixed either. My lucky broken odometer, that's what it is. Well, cops in Massachusetts dealt with a totally different type of sting operation. They were evicting a guy from a $1.5 million home in Longmeadow, Massachusetts, which is not far from the Connecticut border. And in the middle of it, a woman shows up and unleashes thousands of bees on them. Her name is Rory Wood. She's 55 years old. The guy that lives there has been refusing to leave for 2 years. She was there protesting the eviction. She pulls up in this SUV, towing several beehive boxes. She then tips one of the boxes over, smashes the lid to make the bees aggressive, and then puts on a beekeeper's outfit and carries the stack of boxes to the front door to stop the cops from going inside. This is new. Well, several officers and bystanders obviously got stung after the bees started swarming the place. Even a few of the cops were allergic and one had to go to the hospital. Luckily, they're okay. But Rory got herself arrested while still in her beekeeping gear. She's facing charges of assault and battery by means of, quote, a dangerous weapon. Yeah, I would say her tactics are very interesting. I mean, this is certainly one way to tell the cops to buzz off. This woman definitely sounds like a real peach. Yeah, you know, she's sweet as honey. You can really get up close and personal by interacting with the podcast and get the real-time updates and a little of the articles from the stupid stories that you hear when you join Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World Telegram channel. I'll be posting links to the stories that I read here on the episodes. You're able to read the actual articles, see the pictures, look at the videos, make comments about what you have actually seen or read or even heard about, and even share some of your own stupid stories with everybody in the community. Visit t.me/insaneericlane. That's t.me/insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E. You get a preview of the channel, and there's also an opportunity to just download the Telegram Messenger right there from the preview channel right to your device, desktop or mobile, for Windows, Linux, Android, or Apple. And also, you can interact with me as well on social media. Follow me at Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E, on Facebook or Twitter, or visit the website at InsaneEricLane.com.
And now, from the news desk of Insane Eric Lane, it's The Week in Review.
California Governor Gavin Newsom announced the state will end its COVID-19 state of emergency in February 2023. I guess it's easy to predict that COVID won't be a big thing in 2023 because it hasn't been a big thing since 2021. Newsom is ending the state of emergency nearly 3 years after it was first declared, but California has been in a permanent state of emergency since he was elected in 2018. Republican lawmaker Lauren Boebert of Colorado denied claims that she shot and killed a neighbor's dog after the canine attacked the congresswoman's goats on her property. Boebert insists trolls on Twitter are just pulling our legs, or in this case, humping them. A new study explains that algae burgers and other food created from marine aquaculture could feed the world and help save the planet at the same time. Well, it might help save the planet, but the issue is if you eat this junk, you'll want to end it all. The researchers believe algae can meet dietary needs while reducing the ecological footprint of farming. And algae, you know, is easy to get, see? Yeah, all you need is a neglected fish tank and that you never clean, and bingo. Firefighters in Florida conducted an unusual rescue when they were summoned to assist a woman whose foot became stuck in a massage chair. Needless to say, her interaction with this massage chair really got off on the wrong foot. The firefighters cut off the power to the chair and used a grinder to cut through the steel rods holding the chair's rollers in place. Not sure who's going to pay for this, but in my opinion, this woman probably should have to foot the bill. Denver Broncos star Russell Wilson is dealing with a hamstring injury following his team's third straight loss. Now, this could be the first time in NFL history that an injury to a starting quarterback might actually help the team. The Broncos have been arguably the most disappointing team in the NFL. Denver fans had high hopes, and now they're forgetting the season just by getting high. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg plans to spend $60 million to help boost Democrats in this year's midterm elections. This is easily the biggest waste of money since his 2020 presidential campaign. I mean, for a guy who claims to care about the environment, he's going to put a hole in the ozone layer with all that cash that he's lighting on fire. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi insists that polls showing a grim midterm elections outlook for her party are mistaken, and the Democrats are, quote, in great shape for Election Day. She's really looking at things through rose-colored glasses. Well, I guess in Nancy's case, beer goggles. Researchers from the University of Notre Dame conducted a study that shows 6 in 10 people habitually hit the snooze button every morning. Geez, I mean, if people were any sleepier, they could be president of the United States. According to the CDC, roughly 1 in 3 Americans don't get enough sleep. There's a scientific word for these people. They're called parents. A snake on a United Airlines flight sent passengers into panic after the slithery stowaway was spotted as the plane pulled into Newark International Airport. But if they thought the snake was scary, I can't imagine their reactions when they saw the people of New Jersey. The plane had landed around 1:15 in the afternoon after a flight from Tampa. Well, now we know that it was definitely Ron DeSantis relocating the snake to a sanctuary city. According to a new report, the ongoing spread of bird flu will likely affect the price and availability of Thanksgiving turkeys. And now Dr. Fauci is insisting this could have been prevented if those friggin' birds just got their flu shots. A woman in England is asking for help to track down the owner of a briefcase that's been stuffed full of sex toys worth about 500 pounds. This must belong to some depraved freak, so she better check with the royal family and see if it's Prince Andrew's. Holly Adam from Charminster, Dorset, was alerted to the smart-looking package when her dog started sniffing around it during their walk. The dog was hoping for a big chew toy, but when Holly opened the package, he got 12 inches of something else. A new petition has been launched to reshoot the film Halloween Ends following fan complaints. Much like going to a Halloween party as an adult, people were completely let down. The movie also has a pathetic score of 39% on Rotten Tomatoes, indicating that critics hated it too. The reactions are truly so bad that Michael Myers doesn't even want to come back from the dead anymore. An ex-NFL player is taking some heat after his organization brought a stripper to an event hosted at a high school in the Denver area. And it was especially awkward whenever he was flagged for illegal use of the hands. A stripper in a high school, it just isn't something you see every day. She went from the champagne room to the homeroom. Pennsylvania's Lieutenant Governor and Democratic U.S. Senate candidate John Fetterman released a medical report that was written by a doctor who has donated more than $1,300 to his campaign in the past year. You know, this is so sketchy, it makes doctors prescribing medical marijuana for back pain look legit. I mean, hey, look, congrats to Fetterman on getting a clean bill of health from Dr. Pepper. Joe Biden campaigned with Fetterman this week, and everyone there was expecting a DJ to bring them out to the theme song from Different Strokes. California Governor Gavin Newsom has been blaming the oil industry for high gas prices in his state, but experts say the evidence just isn't there. But if there's one thing we've all learned from the people like Newsom, it's that you absolutely don't need evidence to make an outlandish accusation. Yeah. Economist David Kreutzer of the Institute for Energy Research said you'd have to explain why oil companies are ripping people off 50% more in California than the rest of the world and why they only choose to do it now. Everyone's robbing Californians these days. So Newsom probably just figured that that's what oil companies are doing too. Well, an unhinged British Airways passenger took travel chaos to totally new heights when he defecated on the floor of the plane and smeared it into the seats. This guy sounds more suited for a boat because he seems to be very fond of the poop deck. Officials consider the incident a hygienic biohazard, which is coincidentally how every single Spirit Airlines flight is also labeled. Columbia Pictures released a new trailer for the movie A Man Called Otto. It's a movie starring Tom Hanks as this grumpy widower who takes pleasure in tormenting his neighbors. Now, it might sound unpleasant, but look, it's just nice to see a grumpy old man tormenting people who's not in the White House. And Rory McIlroy hit back at Phil Mickelson for claiming LIV is trending upwards. The PGA Tour is trending downwards. Calling the comments propaganda, Rory thinks Phil is so full of disinformation he's going to nickname him CNN. Rory couldn't believe Phil's comments. He was like, I mean, the golf ball's on this guy. President Biden appeared to fall asleep during an interview with NBC. And oddly enough, it was his sharpest appearance of the week. Biden is taking a lot of heat about his mental fitness, but Joe continues to insist that he's the only guy who can actually beat President Reagan. Biden said First Lady Jill Biden doesn't want him to walk away from the White House, mainly because he wouldn't be able to find his way back. New York governor's race has tightened to the point that Lee Zeldin is now considered a slight favorite in some polls. But to be fair, the Republicans always have an edge because they only poll living voters. And a poll by One Vision found that 78% of Americans believe in the existence of aliens. Yeah, it's true. 78% of Americans believe in aliens, while the other 22% don't smoke pot. 33% of the people believe aliens have abducted humans in the past. And, of course, if you don't agree, you've never met Gary Busey. Former Chinese President Hu Jintao was escorted out of a congressional meeting and had all references to him erased from the internet after the incident. Speaking as an American, though, it was shocking to see a former president dragged out of a room. I'm used to watching the current president drug out of rooms after he gets lost. Elon Musk has reportedly told investors he plans to lay off 75% of Twitter's workforce whenever he buys the company. But look, don't feel bad. Half of them are bots. Giselle Bundchen has hired Florida's top divorce lawyer as her split from Tom Brady has reportedly taken a nasty turn. Tough start, you know, to the season for Brady. First, he lost half of his games. Now he's about to lose half of his stuff. The rumors started after Giselle was seen having lunch with power lawyer Tom Sasser. And, of course, this made big headlines because supermodels never eat lunch. So everyone knew something was up. Montana residents will vote on amending the state constitution to determine whether to require law enforcement to acquire a warrant to access citizens' digital data. Now, this is great news for people whose browsing history is more offensive than an old penthouse magazine. As more and more data ends up online, it becomes more important to protect them, according to the Republican State Senator Kenneth Bogner, the amendment sponsor. I mean, everything is really electronic now. I mean, our finances, medical information, wildly inappropriate conversations that would make even a veteran bartender blush. And it's been a good year for Chick-fil-A. A recent survey ranked it as Gen Z's top restaurant, with 15% of respondents listing it as their favorite choice. Turns out that Tasty Chicken Spot is where Gen Z absolutely loves to spend their parents' money. Starbucks came in second at 12% of teens, but mainly because they like to visit the millennial art history majors working as baristas. Some of the 1,000 students and a few staff members at a Virginia high school had to call in sick with the flu-like symptoms and stomach pains. They have no idea what caused it yet, but Pfizer and Moderna are working on a vaccine anyway. And in a recent conversation on the Brilliant Idiots podcast, Charlemagne the God says Kanye West screamed at him over Pete Davidson's, quote, 10-inch penis. We knew Kanye thought Pete was a snake, but apparently he's really mad at his trouser snake. And after week 7 in the NFL, the New York Giants are 6-1. The New York Jets are 5-2. The Seattle Seahawks are 4-3. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why you should never bet on football. During the preseason, many analysts said that these would be among the worst teams of the league, and this is why you should never predict any team being bad, unless, of course, they're named the Detroit Lions.
Hey! Hey! Stupid world! Dum, 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 dum.
You know, everybody has a little stupidity in their world, and frankly, I would like to hear about it, okay? If you've maybe got a great stupid story from your stupid world, maybe you just want to respond to one of mine. I'd like to hear about it. Let me hear from you. You can contact me easily just by email at shoutout@insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E. Or if you got a question or a comment about something that you've heard on the podcast or something that Pancho Guerrero has said on the podcast, or maybe you just want to tell me of some firsthand experience of some stupidity you've encountered, well, let me know. I want to hear from you. I might even use your comments on an upcoming episode. So record a message for me at podcast.insaneericlane.com and give me your feedback, okay? And by the way, if you haven't done so already, and I just can't imagine why you haven't already, follow me on social media. You can look me up on Facebook or Twitter by searching out the handle Insane, E-R-I-K-L-A-N-E.
Underneath this genius, I'm simply a human.
It's like a caveman thing.
And now this week's Genius Award.
And this week's Genius Awards goes to the Florida man who's in trouble again. Matthew Latham, who has a tattoo of the Sunshine State on his forehead, is facing felony battery charges after allegedly slicing up a friend with a razor. A witness told cops that the 24-year-old Latham and the male victim engaged in a physical altercation after a verbal dispute over a cell phone. During that 4:30 a.m. confrontation outside a gas station convenience store, the victim said Latham used a razor to cut him on the neck and leg. A surveillance camera recorded Latham chasing the victim, who is seen holding a shirt to his neck to stop the bleeding from a slice wound. The victim sustained several lacerations to his person, according to a criminal complaint, which noted that the man was transported to a hospital for the neck injury required staples. In a police interview, Latham reportedly copped to removing a razor blade from his pocket and cutting the victim, but claimed he was acting in self-defense. There were no visible injuries to the defendant to support his claim of being attacked, said the police. Latham was charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, a felony, by the way, and he was booked into the Pasco County Jail and later released on a $10,000 bond. Now, a judge has ordered Latham to have no contact with the victim and has barred him from possessing any weapons. Now, in case you haven't seen this dude, he actually has the state of Florida tattooed on his forehead. This is even more of a giveaway than you're a criminal than the MS-13 tattoo, frankly. He slashed his friend and claim self-defense? I'll tell you, that razor might be sharp, but he sure isn't. And then there's this. Pennsylvania State Police are searching for a suspect who dressed in a clown mask and robbed a convenience store in the Poconos while wielding what appears to be a samurai sword. The armed robbery happened just before 5 a.m. at a Unimart in Chestnut Hill Township in Monroe County. The suspect, described as a white male, entered through the rear of the store brandishing this samurai sword and demanded cash from the register. The surveillance images show the suspect wearing this clown mask, a white T-shirt and gray sweatpants, as he unsheathed the sword. Authorities ask anybody with information about the suspect or the robbery to contact Pennsylvania State Police. Kind of hard to believe, though, a clown was wielding a samurai sword. I always thought that their weapon of choice was spraying a seltzer bottle, you know? Of course, when they catch this idiot, they're going to send him where all the rest of the clowns go. You know, Washington, D.C. Or how about this? A burglar was caught on video losing his pants as he and his accomplice stole a safe from one of San Francisco's busiest dim sum restaurants. The owners wanted to share their surveillance video to show just how bad it has gotten for the small businesses in the city. The sagging thief and two other suspects smashed their way into the office of the Palette Tea House in Ghirardelli Square. The video shows one man using a tool to break into a window, then shows the trio dragging the safe out of the office. As they clumsily dragged this heavy safe up the stairs, one of the suspects in the video couldn't keep his pants up. At one point, they fell right down to his knees, and he almost left them behind. The owner said that the sagging thief and his accomplices managed to get away with the cash, a laptop, and his pants. The manager told KPIX 5 that burglars stole at least $10,000 worth of cash and equipment needed to operate the restaurant. Staffers at the Palette Tea House followed the stolen laptop to a deli in Hunters Point, California. They called 911, but it took cops 5 hours to respond to the location. I mean, these criminals were really losing their composure. I bet the leader yelled, "Keep your pants on!" Getting caught on camera is a real kick in the pants. Well, if he had any on, that is. And what about this? A suspected shoplifter, not wearing pants at the time of the attack, has been dubbed the aerosol attacker after she used sprays of feminine deodorant against a Virginia store clerk, according to the Stafford County Sheriff's Office. The wild attack happened just before 5 p.m. at a convenience store on Wick Road in Stafford, according to officials. The caller, who is a store employee, advised that they were just attacked. They provided the description of a female wearing a green shirt and no pants, according to the sheriff. The victim advised the woman attempted to steal over $20 worth of items, and when the store employees attempted to stop her, she sprayed the employee with an aerosol can and left the store. A 43-year-old Washington, D.C. woman matching that description was found outside, sitting in her vehicle at one of the gas pumps, according to officials. Deputy Crossett asked her about the incident. She confirmed she attempted to steal the items and then sprayed the employee with feminine deodorant, according to the official. A 2-ounce can of fresh floral-scented extra care feminine deodorant spray was also recovered. The product promises all-day freshness control and includes ingredients like butane and propane. The woman is charged with larceny and assault and battery and was being held without bond at the Rappahannock Regional Jail, according to the sheriff's office. Now, it may smell like fresh-picked flowers, but it burns the eyes like mace. Am I the only one wondering why she was going to stash her stolen loot if she didn't have pants on? Where was she going to stash the loot? I don't know. You got to check this one out. And a POPCA man who led authorities on a chase through multiple counties in Central Florida then jumped into the St. Johns River was arrested. Florida authorities said the 28-year-old man jumped into the St. Johns River in an attempt to avoid capture after leading deputies in pursuit across multiple Central Florida counties. Oscar Dominique Leondes was in the water for about an hour before he was eventually taken into custody. Leonides was booked into jail on counts of fleeing and eluding police and for possession of methamphetamine and fentanyl. According to the arrest report, the Orange County Sheriff's Office helicopter was in pursuit of the stolen truck. The pursuit entered Seminole County, where deputies attempted to deploy stop sticks and put the driver over, but the driver continued to speed and evade authorities. Deputies were able to successfully use the stop sticks on Route 415 to stop the vehicle. That's when Leonides then got out of the vehicle and jumped into the river. According to the report, he also had an outstanding warrant in Lake County for alleged armed robbery and previously had his driving privileges revoked for fleeing and evading authorities there. Jumping into a river wasn't exactly the best move, I think, but it's just nice that a Florida man finally rinsed off. You know, he had a stolen truck and lots of drugs. Needless to say, this man's face will now be on the state flag of Florida. And you'll never believe this one. A deputy on patrol in Johnstown Township, Ohio, was alerted at about 12:01 in the morning to a possible theft and was given a description and the name of the suspect. A car matching the description passed the deputy, who was sitting at the intersection of Route 193 and Route 88. After the deputy said that he saw the driver, later identified as 34-year-old Aaron Repko, weave into the oncoming lane, he tried to pull him over, but Repko didn't stop, so the deputy followed him to his home. Inside the car was an air compressor on the front seat and several wallets, one of them belonging to the theft victim that alerted police, according to the report. In the back seat was a TV, a DVD player, according to the report. They also found uncapped syringes in the car, a syringe in Repko's waistband, and two empty testosterone vials in his pockets. As Repko was being taken to the jail, he kept moving around in the back seat and at one point was lying across the seat with his shorts around his ankles and his hand was, quote, digging into his anus. According to the report from the sheriff's office, the deputy pulled over and tried to continue a search of Repko, but he kept attempting to pull away into traffic on Route 11, so he was put on a hold and backup was requested to continue Repko's trip to the Trumbull County Jail, where he was booked on charges of possessing drug paraphernalia, possession of drug abuse instruments, resisting arrest, and construction official business. The deputy said the items retrieved from Repko's car were suspected to be stolen. Of course, the investigation is ongoing. Of course, he had drug needles and stolen goods, and maybe a bad case of hemorrhoids. But I don't know about you, but digging in my own butthole is not exactly high on the priority list after getting tossed in the backseat of a police cruiser. Okay, one more. We got a Florida man who was arrested after police said he attacked a woman with a machete while wearing nothing but a cowboy hat. WPLG-TV reported that an arrest from Miami-Dade police said 45-year-old Roberto Hercules attacked the woman while she rode her bicycle in Medley. Police said that he asked her for a crack pipe, but she said she didn't have it, so he chased her with a machete. The woman tried to jump off her bicycle and run away as Hercules struck her with the weapon multiple times in the head and left arm, according to the report. Officers found Hercules sleeping in a tent in Hialeah, still naked, alongside two cowboy hats. He was identified by the victim from a photo lineup done at her hospital bed. According to the police, the victim suffered a fractured skull, brain bleed, broken arm, a large cut through her left hand, and Hercules has been charged with an attempted murder, attempted armed robbery, and aggravated battery with a weapon. Jeez, a naked man wearing a cowboy hat, running around with a machete. Ladies and gentlemen, we officially have reached peak Florida. He got mad at the woman for not having a crack pipe. If we didn't have the guy's name, we'd all think this was Hunter Biden. Well, again, if you like the podcast, please rate and review it. Give it 5 stars, because I pick 5-star stupidity here, people. But don't forget, write a review. Make it really stupid of the podcast. I might even read it on an upcoming episode. And besides, when you rate and review the podcast, it will show up prominently in searches, because you know people are out there desperate and searching for stupidity. Don't forget, share the podcast on social media feeds. Because, heavens, you don't want to be known for being stingy with your stupidity. And don't forget to subscribe. That way you can get your stupid fix every time a new episode is published to your podcast player. And by the way, you can also download every episode. That way, if you don't have adequate internet or cell phone coverage, you can listen buffer-free. And I recommend listening to the podcast on the podcast app called Podcast Addict. It's available at your app store. They do have a couple of paid versions. They also have a free version. It's so customizable. I use it and love it. And besides the current podcast you're listening to, the bonus midweek episode, we have a second episode that comes every weekend featuring my insane Florida nephew, Pancho Guerrero, with more stupid stories from Florida and beyond. Pancho also will answer your questions if you're seeking to tap into his sage wisdom. We can ask Pancho about some of life's biggest questions, and you can also play along with Pancho in our weekly round of the Insane Game Show. Don't forget, you can also interact with the podcast with using the Telegram Messenger app. And you can get that app and join Insane Eric Lane's Stupid World channel. I'll post some of the links from a lot of the stupid stories that I read from every episode. And you can then, check out the videos and the photos from those articles and You can post comments about the articles and some things you heard on the podcast, even share the articles with your friends because they probably won't believe you. They said, no, that would never happen. And you always say, oh, no, it's so stupid. Here's the article. You can check it out, right? You can preview the channel and get a link to download the Telegram Messenger at t.me/insaneericlane, t.me/insaneericlane. The app is available for desktop or mobile versions, platforms for Windows, Linux, Android, or even Apple. And don't forget to follow me on social media with the handle @InsaneEricLane on Facebook or Twitter. And you can find everything I've talked about on my website, InsaneEricLane.com. And I have this week's verbal meme. The inventor of the doorbell obviously did not own a chihuahua. If you think I have written all the stuff that goes into this podcast, you're giving me way too much credit. No, I have to give credit to a talented bank of writers that I rely on for most of this stupidity. I haven't got enough hours of the day to go scoping out all the stupidity that's out there. So I have to give props to Mr. Laughs Comedy and Ad Large Media, Premier Prep, Wise Brother Media, the Universal Comedy Network, and Pulse of Radio at the United Stations Radio Network. Thanks for sticking it out through my stupid world. And if you're feeling a bit crazy, I hope you'll follow me on Facebook or Twitter at Insane Eric Lane and visit InsaneEricLane.com. And if you're feeling a bit insane and want to make your own podcast, you can do it with Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast ever. The only platform where you can publish to major podcast outlets like Apple Podcasts and Google Play Music with a single tap of a button on your phone. Whether you're capturing your own voice, taking call-ins from listeners, conducting remote interviews with anyone, or broadcasting full-length songs from Apple Music or Spotify. Available today for iOS and Android, and it's 100% free, entirely mobile, and so easy to use that literally anyone can make a podcast, even me. Find out more at anchor.fm.